We're reading Ephesians chapter 5. Please open up your Bibles. We're talking about submission, the role of Christians to submit to each other in the fear of the Lord. So we'll look at these verses here, 21 and 22 today. Submit to one another in the fear of God, and wives, submit to your very own husbands as to the Lord himself. Last time we were in this passage, we were discussing how God had created Adam and Eve. And when God created Adam, he created Eve to be a helper for Adam. And that was to be Adam's role, and that was to be Eve's role. From God's perspective, when God looks at us, we are his spiritual children. We are his creation. And although we are all equal in the sight of God, yet each of us has a different role. It's clear from Scripture that in the church, there aren't Jews, there aren't Gentiles, there aren't slaves, there aren't free people. Scripture even says there's not a distinction between men and women, male and female. In Christ, all believers are the same. First of all, we are sinners that have been chosen and saved by God. We have the same salvation. We have the same position before God. We have the same access to the storehouse or to the treasure of the riches of God. Remember chapter 1 of Ephesians, we went through a whole list of the different spiritual blessings that God has given to his church and to believers. Every single one of us has an access to this very same storehouse and to the power of God to live a victorious Christian life. And all of us have the same promise of an eternal life in the presence of God. But when it comes to individual functions, God made a distinction in the Garden of Eden. Adam, the husband, the leader of the family, he was to be the leader. Eve, she was a helper. She was to follow the spiritual guidance and counsel of Adam and follow him in worship of God. Adam was given authority over Eve. Adam and Eve were given authority over their children. Adam had ultimate authority over everything that God had created, all the animals and everything that existed at that time. But the primary responsibility was spiritual leadership. In the leadership to worship God. Satan, of course, had other plans, other ideas, and he got Eve to think independently from Adam. He got Eve to taste the fruit that was forbidden. Then he talked Eve into talking Adam into sinning also. And ever since then, a battle exists between men and women about who is going to be an authority. Even among the church, even among what we call Christian couples. There's a struggle over who is in charge. And unfortunately, whenever we begin to speak about marriage, we get a lot of smiles. We get a lot of people that kind of nudge each other in the ribs. When we go back to the time when Paul wrote this epistle, Ephesus was a pagan city. It was not a Christian culture or a city. I want to think briefly about the status of women in that culture, especially wives. And we have to look at the three cultures that existed at the time. There was the Jewish culture, the Hebrew culture, there was the Greek culture, and there was the Roman authority and the culture that the Romans brought into that society. When we talk about the role of women in Jewish society, a lot of it went back to what the rabbis would teach and how they would interpret Scripture. And they interpreted Scripture particularly Deuteronomy chapter 4, 24, to allow a Jewish husband to control his wife very much as if she was a purchased possession. And if he found something he did not like in his wife, the way she looked, or maybe she had grown old, or maybe she had gray hair now, or maybe she didn't cook dinner good or clean the house, or whatever he found in her that was displeasing to him, he would divorce her by simply giving her a letter and say, "You are no longer my wife." That was the liberal view at the time when Jesus was around. And the Pharisees actually came and they were asking Jesus to reinterpret this. And Jesus set them straight, as Jesus did with all other passages of Scripture. He says, that's the way you think, but God says it's this way. When we come to the Greek culture, we find a whole different mentality between men and women. In that culture, a wife was simply for the legitimate birth of an heir, so that the son would carry the name of the father through a legitimate marriage. But for physical pleasure in the Greek culture, men had what they called concubines. They would just find somebody that they liked and they would spend time with them. And they would encourage their wives to do the same if they wanted to. There was nothing that legally bound them together. And so if a man wanted to go have another wife or woman, he would do so. Women had no rights in that culture. There was nobody that would protect the woman or the wife from the man that wanted to mistreat her that way. In addition to that, in the idolatrous pagan worship in the temples, they believed that through drunkenness and sexual orgies and drugs, they could come into an ecstasy, a mental ecstasy, very much like when you see somebody that is drunk or somebody that is under the influence of drugs. They believed that in this prostitution, they could somehow have communion with God and that somehow this was pleasing to their idol gods. And it's no wonder if you look at a book on Greek mythology and you look at the pictures of some of these gods, they are horrible looking and they're scary. You show it to a child and he'll be afraid. So you see, Christianity brought something new as far as a relationship into a marriage to both the Greek culture and the Jewish Hebrew culture and also to the Roman culture. In the Roman culture, it was very similar to our culture today. Divorce was widespread. Women tried to be manly like men. They went into the arena and they learned to box and they learned to be gladiators and they went hunting for wild animals. They wanted to prove themselves to be more masculine than the men themselves. And very many men in the Roman culture were very effeminate. They were gay, they were lesbians, there was a lot of what Scripture prohibits us from. And out of this background, these Christians in Ephesus, they came to know the Lord. Many of them came from this background. And Paul says, live differently. Be a light, be salt, let your light so shine that seeing your lifestyle, people will see that you belong to God. In the garden, when God created Adam and Eve, remember Jesus interpreting Scripture for the Pharisees says that God has joined them together. And what God has joined together, man has no authority. The key here is authority and those that submit to authority. The very highest authority in our life is God, who speaks to us through Jesus Christ and His Word. And the highest authority as far as a marriage goes is what God has said. And God has said that when a man and a woman come together, especially in the Lord as Christians, in the church, there is to be no divorce. There is to be no separation. There cannot be separation. Why? Because as we read this text, and as Paul begins to show us the relationship of marriage, he compares it to our relationship as the bride of Christ to Jesus Christ. And the relationship of the church to Jesus Christ has two main functions that Paul will show us in these verses that we will begin to look at next time. The first one is that Jesus Christ saved us and sanctified us so that we would be holy, so that our lifestyle would be different than the lifestyle of the world. And just like the church is supposed to be different from the world, Christian marriage is supposed to be separate and different from the marriages of the world. Our marriage is to reflect God's authority, not the world's authority. The judge down at the local courthouse might say, "You want a divorce? I give you a divorce." But God does not recognize that. God has joined you together. Not so that you would be miserable together, but that you would enjoy each other in the worship of God in what is the home church. So holiness in the church is to be paralleled and imitated by holiness in marriage. And secondly, the church and our salvation in Jesus Christ, they are joined by God, and there's no power that can separate us from the love of God or from our salvation. And in the very same way, marriage is not dissolvable. You cannot separate it, because that is a picture of marriage as Jesus Christ to the church is. Sadly, my daughter, when she was third or fourth grade, came home one day and said that she was the only girl in her class that did not come from a family of divorced parents. And that's unfortunately what we find in society. But God's word has not changed. The role for husbands and wives has not changed. We see people in our society demanding rights. Homosexuals and lesbians want the same rights as we have. To have children, to have rights, to have privileges. God's word has not changed. And God is always wanting and calling us and asking us to do what is right and to stand without shame and to declare and to live according to God's standard for marriage as God has revealed to us in Scripture. The problem we find, unfortunately, not only among Christians, but especially among unbelievers, is that they do not recognize the authority of God or of God's word. And that's where the problem lies. People reject Jesus Christ because they reject his word. And they say, this is not God speaking to me. People reject God's standard for marriage because they reject God, not because they have a better idea. Remember, Paul was saying that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we will be able to submit to each other and to live this way. How can we expect people in the world who do not have the Holy Spirit to live by the standard of God? You see, it takes the power of God to live this way. To summarize, if you read Romans, we find that we used to be slaves of sin. We used to live the way the world lives. And now we've been made alive in Jesus Christ. And only those that are filled with the Spirit of God can live this way and live according to the standard that God has established in his word, especially in a marriage relationship. And next time we'll take a little closer look at what it means for a husband to be the head of the family. Amen.